Hey everybody, welcome to our morning devotions. We just finished 1 John yesterday. We're just going to go through and finish John's letters by reading 2 John today. 2 John is actually just this one chapter, so let me read this for us, and I'll share some thoughts for today's devotion. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. Now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves, so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face, so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. So, as I kind of implied before I read the passage, 2 John is another letter written by the Apostle John, and it's not exactly clear who the recipient of this letter is. We see that it was addressed to the elect lady and her children, and this may have just been a way for John to address a local church congregation, and it seems like there was a woman who was in a position of leadership, and this is the possibly the primary person that he was addressing. But again, it's likely addressing a congregation. Unlike most of Paul's letters, or even John's first letter, this one is quite short. In fact, again, maybe this is an encouragement to you, but we just read an entire book of the Bible in just about a minute. So maybe it makes you feel good that you got through a whole book today. Though it's short, there are some very important teachings here in John's second letter. And the one idea that I want to focus on is the importance of remaining watchful and steadfast. In verse 4, John rejoices in knowing that people are walking in the truth, and in light of this, he urges them to continue to do so by loving one another. Now, if this sounds familiar to you, it's probably because that was a major focus of his previous letter. In fact, there are some things where he seems to repeat himself. He reiterates this point here that we are to love one another, and he says, and this is something similar to what he said in 1 John as well, but he says that this is a teaching that we've received from the beginning. This is not something John is saying or teaching for the first time. This shouldn't be the first time that this congregation is hearing this, but we have been told from the beginning to love one another. And to love is to walk or live according to God's commandments. Now, it's at that point in this book, in this letter, that we get to this part about remaining steadfast. In verse 7, John warns that there are deceivers who do not confess the coming of Christ in the flesh, who have gone out into the world and are now trying to lead Christians astray. It's with this in mind that John says in verse 8, "Watch yourselves, so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward." I think it's worth pointing out here that when John says, "so that you may not lose what we have worked for," he isn't implying that one can work for one's salvation. As in, he's not saying, you worked so hard to be saved, so be careful not to lose it. No, we know that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone and not by our works. So just want to make that clear. But there are actually a couple different ways we could read this. The first may be referring to the work that John and the other apostles and teachers and evangelists have done in sharing the good news of Jesus and discipling these early Christians. So, in other words, he may be saying, be watchful that what we have taught you isn't lost, that you don't forget or move away from the things that we, as your leaders, have taught you. But there are other translations, actually, that say not only what we have worked for, but actually says that you have worked for. So another reading of this could be understood as something more akin to working out your salvation, as in be watchful that the work you've put in may not be lost. Now again, the work, when you talk about work that you've put in, is not about you working to earn your salvation, but it's sort of like this. About 4.5 years ago, my wife Riley and I made a public declaration before God and our community of our love and commitment to each other. We even got all dressed up, had a ceremony, invited a bunch of people to mark and celebrate this occasion. But it's not like our relationship has been one of perfect love and unity since then. You know, it's not like May 18th, 2019, that's just we hit the peak, and that's kind of, we hit perfection in terms of our love for one another. No. Over the years, we've had to work on our relationship, and we'll be doing this for the rest of our lives, where we're learning more about each other, where we're coming to better understand how to communicate and serve each other. And again, that's something we're going to just work on. We're going to work on our relationship for the rest of our lives. And it's not because something is wrong with us. It's not because our relationship is just so messed up or something, but because that's how you grow and deepen a relationship. And any relationship, whether it's a marriage, a friendship, any meaningful relationship, you can't remain stagnant, sitting around, doing nothing, and expect that relationship to get deeper, for you to grow deeper in love. You can't expect that to happen. You need to work at that relationship. And it's a similar kind of thing with our relationship with God. If you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, you've had a moment when you chose to put your faith in Jesus, where you have committed your life to him and you have this relationship with him. And praise God for that. But it's not like that's it. It doesn't end there. You don't get to just sit around and just chill for the rest of your life. No, we need to work on our relationship with Jesus, coming to know him more, allowing him to work in your life all until the day you see him face to face. And part of that means things like reading the Bible and praying, gathering with others in worship, serving, giving, all the disciplines that you can think of. And also, it means being watchful, holding firm to your relationship to Jesus. Regardless of which way we read it, the reality is that just as there were deceivers in John's day, setting out to pull people away from the truth, away from Jesus, there are also deceivers today doing the same things. That could be in the form of specific people that you might think of, or just the way that the different messages that society sends about yourself or God or the world. And the thing about deceivers is that they're deceptive. It's not always very clear or obvious that what they're saying or doing is drawing us away from Jesus. And in fact, the things that they say might seem right or appealing. But it's all for that reason that we must be watchful. Watchful against deceivers. To make sure that what they're saying or teaching, to line it up and measure it up with what the gospel says. Now, you could read something like verses 10 and 11 and think John is being extreme when it comes to these deceivers, where he says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. You could read that and think that this sounds really exclusive or unwelcoming. Like, are you saying, John, that I shouldn't associate with non-Christians? That I shouldn't even greet them? That I should live only in a Christian bubble? The answer to that, hopefully you know, is no, certainly not. I don't think this is meant to be taken literally, as in you literally can't even greet someone who is not a Christian. No, I believe this is more of a call to remain set apart in such a way where our commitment is clearly and only to Christ. That we're not dabbling in other things. We're not just kind of straddling the fence here with trying to keep our feet in both the things of Jesus and the things that are not. Having a wandering eye or keeping the door open for other ideas to tarnish the work that we've done. But rather, to clearly hold on to Christ. And I think scripture makes this very clear. You know, we can't love both God and the world. I think it's a lot like what Paul says in Ephesians 4 about not giving any opportunity to the devil. It's leaving no room for error, but rather remaining firmly attached to the source of life. It's going back to just the example I gave about my marriage to Riley. I think it goes without saying that it wouldn't make sense for either of us to be open to other people or other relationships. Does that mean that we can't be friends with other people? No, of course not. But it wouldn't make sense for us to abandon our commitment to one another. So, Symphony Church, as we continue to work out our relationship with Christ, let's remain watchful and steadfast. Let's hold firmly to who we are in Christ and to what we have received. Let's not give room for the enemy to infiltrate our hearts and minds, but rather remain firm in our commitment to Christ. And out of that commitment, look to love one another, to serve one another, and build up the body together. Let me pray for us to wrap up our time today. Oh Lord, we thank you for the gift that we have of a life with you. Lord, I believe, Lord, us listening today, Lord, we have, each of us has been on a different journey. But for those of us who have considered ourselves to be followers of Jesus, we have come into this relationship with you. And through the work that others have done, through the work that we have put in to deepen this relationship with you, Lord, we are in this place because of that. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to hold firm to you, God. We hold tightly, remain committed, Lord, and be watchful. Watchful for the ideas, the teachings, the ways that are not from you that may infiltrate or seek to infiltrate our minds and our hearts. We know, God, that there are many other voices, teachings, ideas out there today. And it can be very easy to fall into these things. But again, God, help us to remain steadfast, committed to you, knowing that you alone are the way to life. So Lord, today, even as we go about our days of work or studying, times with others, God, I pray that you would help us to remain, hold tightly to you, to the truth of your word, and remain in your love today. So we thank you, God, for this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.